This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Well, this morning, as I was thinking about the end of the year and what does it look like for us to get ready to launch into a new year, you know, it's funny, I've joked about this a couple of times, but, you know, last year we were thinking, hey, 2020 vision, right? We're going to be excited about this new year. It's going to be an awesome year, and we've been thrown for a loop. But I also think this is the time of year when people are reflecting. You know, you see out on the news or on radio or whatever social media, there's remembrances of what happened in 2020 and what we're thinking about going forward for 2021. It's a time, once we've kind of made it to and through the Christmas season, it's an opportunity for us to reflect on and think through, what are my plans for the next year? What do I want to engage in? What do I want to be about for the year that's coming up? And obviously, we've had to reset our priorities in a number of ways coming out of this, and being in the midst of this pandemic. And so, but I think it's still a time when I know I take stock of my life and I think, what's next for me? How do I want to, what are the goals that I want to set for my life? And how I'm asking the Lord to bless the plans that I'm making. And so I wanted to talk with you this morning about a couple of different verses from Proverbs. One is Proverbs 16. Which says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And then Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So I just wanted to offer some reflections on those verses this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word that is true, that is good, that has sustained your people throughout the ages. Through pestilence and pandemic and plague, through hardship and toil and suffering, through good times and bad, your word stands forever. And so we turn to it yet again, seeking comfort, seeking direction and insight, seeking your wisdom and your grace, that you might be with us for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned my brother earlier in the service, that he has a daughter, my niece Jolie, who is just a few months younger than Levi, so she's 13 now, and she was born in July, and so we would often be in Florida in the summer, and we would get a chance to go and visit my family in Orlando when and around it was her birthday, and so often we would be there for her birthday. And I remember probably about 10 years ago, we were going to go outside of this big park that had these pavilions to celebrate her birthday. So all the plans were made. There were games that were set up, and there was decorations. My sister-in-law has a friend who makes these gourmet cakes, the kind that, like, they look like they belong in a magazine cover. They're just beautiful cakes. And so we're all set. The plans are set. We're really excited. Everything's going to be awesome. But then what typically happens in Orlando in the afternoon are those massive thunderstorms that will come. And you really, you know, it's going to rain somewhere, but you don't really totally know where it's going to rain. But this day, it just, the heavens opened. And it was just like buckets of water. And so everybody ran into one of the two or three different pavilions to take shelter. And we're just going to wait this one out. Because usually they're 20, 30 minutes. And then it's even more humid than it is normally. But it's gone and it's wet. And that's just how it goes. But this one, it just kept coming and coming and coming. And it was so bad that the sheets of rain were blowing into the pavilion, such that we were all like standing in the very center of the pavilion with the picnic table, with the beautiful magazine cover cake, like getting wet even with the wind and the rain blowing everything in. And finally we just said, this is not going away, so we're going to bail, we're going to get out of here, and we had the party somewhere else. All the plans that were made to have a great celebration were thwarted by this unbelievable torrent of storm and rain that came down. We ended up having a good time somewhere else. But it's funny, because often we're in Orlando for that party, but I don't remember any of the other parties. I remember this one because it got washed out by the rain. We ran as fast as we could across the park, into the parking lot, and we were completely drenched and soaked when we got to wherever we were going. That's the one that I remember, the one that got blown up. The plans that were made got totally, totally trashed. Well, what do you think about, what's your plan been? I know my plan for 2020 was not what happened. It was not anything on my radar. No, it was something. I remember I was standing out in the foyer. This was January. David Smith said to me, "Matt, what's your plan for COVID-19? I said, "What? I don't have one." None of us could have had the kind of plan that we needed to deal with this. But what are your plans for 2021? Now that we know this pandemic is here and we've got to function in this way for at least another few months. I remember when we stopped gathering for worship, I thought, you know, I'm not sure if we're going to get back together for Easter this year. That's hilarious. It's Christmas Eve and we're like, sorry, we're not meeting. I should have said Easter of 2021, right? You just don't know. But what are your plans? What are you going to do in 2021 as you've had the chance to reflect on 2020? Things have slowed down a little bit, as I mentioned before. Things are going even slower. We have a safer at home order. What does that mean? It gives you an opportunity to reflect on what is it that you think God is calling you to do and to be for this upcoming year. What are the plans that you're making? Do you have a plan to get better mentally? Do you have a plan to get better at a skill? Do you have a plan for your work, your career to advance in some way? Do you have a plan for your fitness to get physically more fit? Those are all good and worthy plans to engage in. But do you have a plan for your spiritual life? Have you thought about what 2021 is going to bring for your own journey in your faith? What are the things you're planning on doing so that you can grow and be the person that God wants you to be? Do you want to increase the time that you spend studying God's Word? Do you want to grow in your understanding of the spiritual disciplines, meditation on Scripture and study, prayer, fasting? Do you want to grow in your engagement with your community to serve this city? Because there are going to be, and there are, lots and lots of people who need to be encouraged, who need care, who need food, who need employment. What's the plan that you have to be God's person in this moment, in this year in 2021? When the rain comes down and the party gets washed out, what's your plan? Have you thought about that? Well, maybe you haven't. Maybe you can take these next few days as we slowly limp into 2021 to take stock and to consider what those plans are. Do you have a plan for your neighborhood? Do you have a plan for the people in your life that don't yet know Jesus, aren't yet fully following Him? Do you have a plan to pray for them, to encourage them, to call them, to spur them on to faith and to faithfulness? Do you have a plan for that? I think that God wants us to have a plan. I think it's a biblical thing for us to make plans. We see this all throughout the Bible where God is establishing plan. We know that God has a plan for the universe. He has a purpose and an idea of what He is trying to accomplish. Sometimes we don't understand fully what that plan is, but we know that He is bringing about His purposes for His own glory through suffering and challenge and hardship. He is bringing about His purposes. He wants to gather a people to Himself and use them to demonstrate His glory in the world. And one day Jesus is going to return in His fullness, not in the form of a baby, but in the form of a glorious King, to draw His people to Himself. We know that He's going to do that, and He's working through men and women, boys and girls, His church, to reveal His glory in the world. That's His great purpose. But we see all over the Bible that God gives plans to His people. We see in the beginning of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus where God gives the people His law that reveals His character. The first and foremost important part of the law is that it reveals the character of God, which helps everybody realize they're not God. It demonstrates God's holiness to reveal that people are not holy so that they would trust God. It reveals to us that we need a Savior, Jesus, because when we read through the law, we realize, well, I can't do that. I need a Savior. And then it also then gives us plans for how we are to live. It shows us, this is what I want you to do. I want you to walk in obedience to my word in light of what I've done for you in sending a Savior to you. Here's your plan. We also see the plans that God made for the tabernacle, which was the tent of meeting that would travel along, and it held the Ark of the Covenant where the Ten Commandments were held. It was this glorious tabernacle that God said, here's specifically how I want you to make. Here are the plans for how to make this, because this tabernacle is going to travel along and this is where my presence is going to dwell. We also see in the Old Testament there are specific plans for how the temple should be built. When the tabernacle was gone, there was this structure that was going to reveal and reflect and house the glory of God. Really specific instructions like, here are the plans. This is what I want you to do. Jesus had a plan with his life. How do I reveal the kingdom of God to the people of the world? What's the plan that Jesus had? Jesus came and he sought people and he taught and he was telling them about, this is what the kingdom of God is like. He wasn't just saying, hey, here's how you get to heaven, but he's like, this is what the kingdom looks like as you serve and as you love, as you care for the least of these. That's what it looks like. And we also know that Jesus had a plan to reach the world, right? What was the plan? The plan was to invest in these 12 guys. And to help them become disciples, not just converts, but disciples, people who were learning all the time about the way of Jesus. And those disciples were to do what? What was plan A for the disciples? Make disciples, right? Go into the world and make disciples. That was Jesus' plan A, to reach the world. It wasn't gather as many people as possible in stadiums and hear them listen to one guy talk. It was no. People are to live out the kingdom with their very lives as disciples and to go out and make disciples, because the word of God can spread much more rapidly as every single person is a disciple who makes disciples. And we saw that happened. The plan was working. The Mediterranean was reached. That was his plan. Remember, Jesus, he chose these 12 guys and he said, I want you to be disciples. He prayed and thought, Lord, what do you want me? Who shall I pick? That was Jesus' plan. Paul had a plan. Paul wanted to spread the gospel all to the churches, not just the church of people who had that were Jews, but to the Gentiles. And so we see he goes on these three different missionary journeys to strengthen the churches. So in the Bible, I think it's a biblical thing to have a plan. A church ought to have a plan. A business ought to have a plan. A government ought to have a plan. People ought to have a plan. Because I don't know about you, but if I don't have a plan, something else fills in the time. I don't have to have a plan to watch football games on TV. That just kind of happens. I don't have to have a plan to eat ice cream. Like, but I don't need to make any arrangements for ice cream or nachos. That just somehow finds its way into the mix. I have to have a plan if I want to be fit to get up early and do the exercise in the morning before everyone gets up. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. So I've got to have a plan. I don't need to have a plan to sit around. I need to have a plan to do that hard work. So I've got to make a plan. And I also want to make a plan that's in line with God's word. Right? If my plan for 2021 is I want to rob 12 banks this year. That's my goal. 12 banks. And get away with it and give all the money to Fran. Right? That's the goal. Well, that's not a goal that's in line or consistent with the word of God, right? And so we want our plan to be consistent with the word of God. It's okay to have a goal to say, I want to make money. I want to build a successful business. That's a good plan. Because if I have a successful business, then I'm allowing other people to work and to flourish and blessing their families. But it shouldn't be just about money in such a way that I work my employees so hard that it's just about money. But it's about creating a culture and a dynamic at work where I'm helping people to flourish and to use their gifts to release resources into the community, right? That's a worthy goal. And you see the difference there between the two. So when you're thinking about your plan, it should always be consistent with what the Bible teaches. You know, I think that if My goal is to rob 10 banks. I don't think God's going to honor that goal. He might say, well, here's my plan for you, is you're going to get caught the first time and go to jail. But if I say, Lord, I want to grow in my understanding of your word. I want to study a book of the Bible, and I really just want to soak in it for 2021. Or I want to learn more about how to pray. And so I'm going to spend an hour every day in prayer and study and reflection with the Lord. I think God would honor that. Now, I also know that Satan is going to throw at me all different kinds of distractions that would keep me from that. Things that really are of no ultimate consequence that I would be able to find myself doing. Because he doesn't want me to grow in my depth of relationship with God. But if I had a plan, if I said, Lord, this is what I want to do, it's going to be 1 hour every day. And there may be a day I don't do it, and there may be a day that I do more, but I think God's going to say, that's a good plan. But if you're going to make that kind of plan, you got to get after it, right? But what is your plan? I think planning is good, right? So we see a biblical pattern for planning. We also recognize that planning is something that helps us to be focused, because if I say, well, I'm going to spend an hour a day in prayer and reflection and study, that means I'm going to have to do less of something else. I'm making a decision about, well, is it going to be, what am I going to give up? Am I going to give up my streaming Netflix, or am I going to give up sitting around? I'm going to have to be focused on my plan. But if I know what my plan is, then I'm much more likely to stick to it. But if I don't have a plan, then I'll just do whatever. Oh, there's nachos? Yeah, give me two more plates. So planning is good, right? But I think it's also important for us to hold our plans loosely. To hold our plans loosely, because we can make a plan and recognize that sometimes the rain comes down and the plan gets thwarted, and we're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to audible. We're going to have to make adjustments. The verse says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. I think what this is reminding us of is that sometimes we have all different kinds of plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. Part of our growth in Christ as we mature as followers of Jesus is to discern what are the good things that we should be focusing on. Less robbing of banks, more studying of the Word, right? Obviously, that's a pretty obvious decision. But with discernment and maturity, some of the less obvious decisions become more clear. Like, what do I really want to focus on for the year that's coming up? And part of our growth as followers of Jesus helps us discern that even through difficulty, even through disappointment, even through depression, God is present with us. And it's not always about me reaching the goals. It's about me encountering the presence of the Lord. Right? Because for many of us, did your plans for 2020 come to fruition? I would say that for a lot of people, if you had specific plans and goals, they didn't happen. Now, I would say that probably for some people, they accomplished more than their goals. Jeff Bezos of Amazon probably said, I think we hit more than our goals this year. Mark Zuckerberg, well, we had more people spending more time on Facebook this year, and people watched more YouTube and more Netflix. So the big tech organizations, they reached their goals. Congratulations to them. But did we? Probably for a lot of us, we didn't. And maybe it was a business goal, or it was a family goal, or it was a fitness goal, or it was a spiritual goal. Maybe we didn't reach those goals, you know, and that's okay. It's not necessarily about getting the goal. It's about, especially when it's a spiritual goal, it's about goal. The goal is getting closer to the Lord. Right? We also recognize that our plans need to be held loosely, because sometimes we think we know what's best, and we don't really understand. And there's none of us, obviously, that would ever pick a global pandemic for 2020. We wouldn't have anticipated it. There are probably some people that were thinking, hey, this could happen. We didn't really know that it was going to happen, but none of us would have chosen this. And yet, in the midst of it, there's some things that we found that are really good. Some of us have had a slower pace. Others of us, because of maybe fear or anxiety or insecurity, have had to say, Lord, I need you. I'm asking you to be more present to me because I feel concerned. I'm concerned about the economy. I'm concerned about racial injustice. I'm concerned about political tension. I'm concerned about these things. And so what it's done is it's caused us to move closer to God and to say, Lord, help me. And that, as bad as a pandemic is, and as bad as protests and racial injustice and all those things are, these things are vehicles or instruments that God has used to bring us closer to Him. Or not. Because for some people, I would say, maybe they've wandered from God. Well, the church isn't meeting in person, so I'll just kind of take a Sunday off. I won't really study, or I won't reflect, I won't grow, or I become embittered, I'm angry about the political tension, or whatever. If we hold our plans loosely, we see that God is the one who controls the universe. He is the one who is in charge of everything. So we make plans. But let me tell you, if your plan for 2020 was to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, does a pandemic affect that? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You can grow in the fruit of the Spirit regardless of whatever's going on. Because that's a matter of connecting with the Father, rejoicing in the Son, learning from the Holy Spirit. God can use those things. So no matter what goal you have for 2021, that's a goal I would encourage you to pursue. Pick a fruit of the Spirit for per month and say, I want to grow in this. I want to really learn what it means to be patient. Right? Be careful with that one, though. Because God will put somebody in your life that you can't stand. And then you learn how to grow in patience, or He'll send you a global pandemic. See, these spiritual plans can be accelerated in times of challenge and difficulty. And we say, Lord, you know, this has been a hard year for a lot of reasons, but in some ways, God, I'm thankful because You've really taught me more about Your character. You've taught me more what it means to love. You've taught me that I do need to hold my plans loosely. You know, we have plans. I'm thinking about, what's the plan for Woodland Church in 2021? I don't know. I want the people of this church to grow in faith and to learn to follow Jesus and to serve our community. But it's so hard to figure out, how do we do that together? We can hardly get together. What does that look like? How do we mobilize one another in ways that are safe and meaningful? It's a hard thing. Pray for us. But you know, it's in those moments of difficulty that we realize that, you know, it's not always about us making the plan. You know, you ever heard what, Mike Tyson, famous boxer back in the 80s and 90s, amazing guy who was terrorizing people in the ring. He was a dominator, right? No one could touch Mike Tyson until Mike Tyson, as crazy as it sounds, got lazy. Got soft, right? And Buster Douglas beat him, and this is a big knockout. No one could have ever believed that Mike Tyson finally got beat. Well, then, as his career was coming to an end, we didn't really realize it because he had been so dominant. He actually was in the boxing ring with Evander Holyfield, and during the fight, he was losing, and he bit Evander Holyfield's ear. He bit a part of his ear off. And when asked, why did you bite his ear? He said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. And here's the thing, guys, we got punched in the face this year. Right? You got a plan, but you get punched in the face. So then what do? Don't bite anybody's ear, okay? Don't do that. I mean, Mike Tyson's in pretty good shape now, though. I mean, have you seen him? You can recover. But it means that you have to hold your plans loosely and say, Lord, what is it that You're teaching me? What are You asking me to do? Because again, it may not be about reaching the goals and hitting the number and those things, but it's about growing closer to God. Just becoming more like Jesus in this moment. When you're relating to the people that you work with, or the people in your family, or the people that you're encountering online, we're saying, Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. Because we know that God has a plan for us, right? And this is a verse from Jeremiah that people often refer to when they talk about God's plan for me. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God says, I have plans for you. And in this verse, you know, I love this verse. You see it, it's like inscribed on pillows. And people have it hung on their kitchen wall. And it's a beautiful verse. But it's important for us when we read a verse in Scripture to understand the context. Right, what was going on? Why was Jeremiah telling the people this thing that God had a great plan for them? Why was? Because they were enslaved in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked Babylonian king who dominated the world, came down to Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, and he brought everybody up in slavery. And there were these prophets saying, hey, we're going to get out of here in a couple of years. It's going to be fine. But Jeremiah was like, no, here's the word from the Lord. You're going to be here for 70 years. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Seek the welfare of the city. Marry your sons and daughters. Have children. Bless the city where you live while you are in exile. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Right? So there's this desire for us to just get out of the situation that we're in. And yet here God is saying to people who are literally been ripped from their homeland and enslaved, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope. Right? So if we think that the plan is to just get rid of this tough stuff in our life, that's not how God works. As much as I would love to be able to say, pandemic is over, that's not how it's going to work. And so the question that we have is, as we hold our plans loosely, is to say, Lord, what do you want to teach me in the midst of this struggle that I'm facing right now? And maybe it's not pandemic related. Maybe it's family related. Maybe it's a health concern. Maybe it's economy. Maybe it's uncertainty. Whatever it is. The blessing of the circumstance is that what do? You say, Lord, I've got to trust in you because I can't fix this on my own. I don't have the tools to stop it. I don't have the wherewithal or the cleverness to fix it. And so what do? Then we say, Lord, please help me. You've got to do it, Lord. You see, Jeremiah was the one who was telling them. He said, seek the welfare of the city, which basically just says, in the place where you are, trust that God is at work and serve him faithfully as a disciple of Jesus. Let God fix the problems. You trust in him. You grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see how that shapes your understanding of the challenge that you're in? As you think about what's my plan going to be? Man, it makes a huge difference in knowing that God is with you in the midst of the difficulty. That he is the one who is going to work out his purposes. And see, the more we mature and the more we grow through spiritual disciplines and through hardship and struggle, the more we realize that our plans ought to be in line with God's plans, right? So if you have a plan to get fit in 2021 and you are not fit physically, man, those first 3 weeks is really, really tough. It's really hard because you're like, oh, my body is sore and it's aching. But guess what happens after a few weeks? You're like, well, this is what I do. It's part of who I am. I just get up and get fit. Or I've cut out this part of my diet and I don't even miss it anymore. The first few weeks, man, it was tough. But I don't even miss it anymore because I'm a different kind of person. Well, it's the same thing as we seek to grow in our faith. Bible reading and reflection and prayer becomes part of what you are. When you start sharing your faith with people and you start telling people about Jesus and his work in your life, at first it feels really weird. It's scary to do it. What if they reject me? What if they don't respond? What if they don't believe? So what? Do it anyway. Because then it becomes part of who you are. Because then people, well, Jesus must be something because he keeps talking to me about him. It becomes part of who you are. I met a guy that said, you know, never waste a good crisis. Never waste a good crisis. And boy, haven't we had a good crisis this year? What is it that God wants to teach us? What does it want? What is it? And maybe it's not about like building something big or magnificent, but it's about growing in your faith. It's about becoming more like Christ. You know, we just learned that we're not really in control. But we also know that God wants us to become more like him. And that plan often includes pain, suffering, anxiety, uncertainty, maybe a little bit of fear. Because guess what? We're often trusting in ourselves to fix the problem. But when we're faced with a crisis, when we're faced with a diagnosis, when we're faced with hardship, uncertainty, then we say, Lord, I've got to trust in you. In his heart, a man plans his steps, but the Lord determines his way. So we're to make plans, we're to hold them loosely. We also have to remember that the Lord is with us. I mean, think about this. Like, so have you ever helped a child who's just learning how to walk, learn how to walk? You know, sometimes you can kind of, you get down and you hold them, you hold their hands like this, and you put their feet on your feet right here, and you kind of just do these little baby steps this way, because they don't really know how to walk. They don't have good balance. They can't figure out how to do it. And so it usually includes some short amount of laughter and then an extended period of crying. But nevertheless, you're helping this child learn how to walk, right? You're teaching them two important things. Number one, they're understanding more how you walk, right? You have to put one foot in front of the other. You have to use your muscles. You have to keep your balance. And all those things, you don't process exactly that way, but you learn it over time. Now, most of you can walk really, really well. Not everybody, but you can walk really well, right? So you're learning how to walk. But you know, that child is also learning, I can trust my dad. I can trust my mom, right? And you're not saying, oh, you can trust me. You're just doing it. And they realize that this big creature who's over me, who's making me laugh, who's with me when I cry, loves me. And I can trust that person. Well, when you are walking through life and you're off balance, or it's scary, or you're struggling, or you fall down, and God is with you, holding your hands, stepping for you, will you learn that God loves you? He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. And just because you're facing something hard doesn't mean that God's not with you. In fact, it may be that you're experiencing something hard because he wants to get your attention to say, hey, I'm still here. Stop ignoring me. Because isn't that what happens when we face something hard? Is we say, Lord, man, we need you. Oh, how we need you. And you know, sometimes we think, well, gosh, you know, that when things are going wrong, God must be against me. And that's just not true. It's just not true. I mean, think about this. Do you think God, the Father, loved Jesus, the Son? Say yes, somebody. Yes. What did God allow Jesus to experience in this life? Like, we love the manger scene. It's Christmas. You know, here he is, right here. Look at him. So, adorbs. Right. This is. I had one of these at home, and my dog got him in his mouth. I had to rescue Jesus from the mouth of my dog. It's so cute. Like, he's just a little baby, and we love the incarnation because it's just the delicate, gentle wonder of a baby. Right. But what happened to that baby? He grew up to be a boy. He grew up to be a man, and he was persecuted, and he was hated by the religious leaders, and he was killed. Because of what he stood for. He stood for the kingdom of God. He stood for justice. And he exposed the sin and hypocrisy of all the people who thought they had God figured out. And he was giving them an opportunity to see where they were wrong. Some responded and said, yes, I acknowledge that I've got this wrong. And I want to trust in you and I want to follow you. And others said, no, this can't be. But if God allowed his own son to experience suffering, persecution, and death, for his own glory, don't you think he would allow us to experience hardship too? If you're facing something hard, it's not because God doesn't love you. It's because he does. So the question I have for you for 2021 is, what are your plans? God's plan includes suffering, hardship, difficulty, sadness, sorrow, defeat. But his plan also includes you. Does yours include him? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.